And that's Duke's End to begin this edition of The Song Is You. And we welcome back our good friend, Mickey Paraskevas.
It's always good to be
here. You can't get enough of this music stuff, can you?
No,
you
I like my music. Yeah. People always, like my music picks.
Yeah, right.
I like this. This is what I should do.
So do you do mixtapes? What they used to call tapes, whatever. Do you do that for people?
We're really dating ourselves. Yes, I used to do mixtapes.
Yeah. And give them as gifts or whatever?
Yes. The mixtape was always good. Now you do mixed CDs.
Now
you just send them over the email.
Now you give these little, thank you very much for my little gift.
I gave you a little painting.
Yeah, a little painting on a piece of wood.
Isn't this wonderful on the radio to talk about art?
Yeah, I love it.
I've always discussed this.
I always do that because it's a challenge for people to describe. Would you describe what you gave me?
I did a little series of these paintings. I've probably painted about 150 of these little kind of people in masks. And they wear these kind of crazy, monster masks. And I've given them to my friends.
Have you always liked monsters, Mickey?
I think every little child-like person likes a good monster.
Yeah.
There's a lot of scary things living under the bed.
Yeah.
I was always afraid of the stuff under the bed. It was terrifying.
Where the wild things are?
Yeah, terrifying. I would always line my stuffed animals up on the side of the bed to make sure that nothing would protect me and nothing would crawl out from under that mess under there.
Mickey Paraskevas, who is award-winning, well-known around the world, illustrator and author and, producer. You and your mom worked on series Nickelodeon.
We did Maggie and the Ferocious Beast for Nickelodeon. People who know me have done that before. I was laughing. I said, when I was coming over here, I thought, now I do Dan's Papers here on the east end of Long Island. And I said to myself, how long have I been at Dan's? And I edited it up and it will be
Let me guess. 23 years.
No, next summer it'll be 25.
25.
So I was trying to figure out how to, I don't know if that's good.
Is it good?
It's good. Well, get along with Dan, it's good.
You get up in the morning, you breathe, that's good.
And getting along with Dan is good.
Is it hard to get along with Dan?
No, he's fine. He's great. He sends me his stories. We have this kind of funny relationship. He emails me
these
great
stories.
What do
you do besides Green Monkeys? You do that?
Well, I do the cartoons for Dan's.
Right.
I do Dan's. Dan sends me two or three stories a week, and I do a drawing for his main story. And he just lets me do what I want.
Yeah.
I have to sort of stay within the parameters of his story, which helps.
Take a few years to get that kind of camaraderie?
I think the rhythm took a while to get going, but it was pretty easy. We hit it off right in the beginning, and then it's evolved over the years. I think somehow if someday, when somebody ever decides to catalog all of it, and there's a lot of drawings, I mean, it's 25 years of, it's three, four drawings a week of cartoons, and it adds up.
So and you've
done
covers,
at them,
too.
And a lot of covers. I've done 60, 70 covers for those people. But if you look at this, the range of work from the way the cartoons started into the way they are now, it's really evolved and changed.
Yeah.
And it's fun to look at.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether I'm going to do a big, do a 25-year book of the Dan's cartoons. But some of them are so relevant to, they're just not timely. I mean, they were relevant that week. And I swear to God, you look at them a month later, they're like, oh my God, that's not funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So your humor is not timeless.
Some of it's timeless. I mean, I suppose you could pick out the ones that
Charles Adams was.
Well,
that's interesting.
He's much better than
I am. Oh, come on.
No, he's much better than
me.
No,
how do you rate yourself? How do you rate yourself?
You don't really
rate
yourself.
You can't.
You can't. You leave that to other people.
Okay.
So, but I mean, I've done the book. Now, this book is coming out next. The book I finished, I was in L.A. and I painted this book when I was in Los Angeles. It's called Taffy Saltwater's Yummy Summer Day. That's coming out next. That's coming out in May, so we're really doing the pre-press tour.
This is hot on the heels of On My Way to the Bath,
which I did this year.
2012, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Because if we repeat this show, which we probably will a few times, just to let people know that we're taping it in October of 2012,
book will come out in the spring. It'll be fun. And
Taffy Saltwater's Yummy Summer Day. And this has a little autobiography in it. A little bit,
because I really like, as much as I love the Hamptons, I always wanted to do a book about the boardwalk in Jersey, which is where I really, when I was first introduced to the beach, my mother would take us down to Asbury Park and Ocean Grove, and it's still there.
So is Bruce Springsteen on the list? Asbury Park? No.
No, he's not,
is he? Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that horrible?
Tell us the genesis, though, of Genesis, why we began with this piece by Genesis.
I love that. I always liked Genesis. I was in college, I think it was in 79, and somebody had handed me a Genesis album, and they said, haven't you heard this band? And I said, no. I was really – my mother – growing up, my mother played a lot of Broadway songs in the house, and really, that's what I thought music was.
Did you guys
for
work
a long
on
time. I did not know a lot of rock
Did she
music.
Work on Broadway? Did she work
She worked with a very famous Broadway producer for years, for Harry Rigby. And she worked on Sugar Babies and various shows, and she was his best friend. And they, I just hung out with. I grew up like going to Broadway shows. I saw a Broadway show before I saw a movie in a movie theater.
Wow! What was your first Broadway show?
Half a Sixpence.
Half a Six. I don't know that.
Yeah, with Tommy Steele.
Oh my God!
1967.
And what was your first movie?
In a movie theater. You're gonna. This is really crazy. I think it was Marooned.
Marooned?
Yes, with Gregory Peck. I went, and I was like, it was like in the first grade, I went to see Marooned.
That's great.
And the second movie I remember was Airport, which is really crazy.
Airport.
But why would my mother send, you know, a seven-year-old to see Airport? I don't know, because I came home terrified.
I bet.
And that's back in the day when they would just drop you off at the movie theater.
You were terrified much of your childhood, maybe.
No.
Yeah.
I'm terrified
Monsters
now.
Under the Bed, you know, seeing scary movies.
I think childhood is filled with 90% terror.
Yeah, but you've written such sweet stories about childhood.
To make childhood nicer.
Why don't you make a monster book? You know?
I've done. I mean, my mother's done a whole bunch of.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Like a scary book.
Yeah, scary book.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll put that on the list.
Okay, put it on the list. Mickey Paraskevas, beginning with Genesis. And this is Genesis post Peter Gabriel, so it's Phil Collins.
Yeah, but both of them are good. I like the Peter Gabriel stuff, and I also liked a lot of the stuff they did.
And this was
Peter
the instrumental part.
Yeah, this was actually, I think this is the end of the album. It's the last cut from the album.
Wow.
It's a little kind of like.
So how do we transition from that into Vonda Shepherd?
Vonda Shepherd was my mother and I used to sit around. We worked at home all the time. So we used to always kind of roll, we'd get these DVDs out and we would do entire series runs of TV shows. And one of our favorite shows was Ally McBeal. We watched Ally McBeal straight through, like for a month. We just put it on every night. We'd watch Ally McBeal. We'd never seen it. I never saw it when it was on. So when they released the tapes, they were like, my mother said, oh, get that out. We watched Dallas that way. We watched Knott's Landing that way. Knott's Landing was actually wrong. But
Have you seen the new Dallas?
The new Dallas is great.
I haven't seen
it. It's excellent because the guys who did it really watched the old show and they copied it. I mean, they didn't. I mean, they updated it. But they.
How's Larry Hagman look? How's he look?
You know, the best line in the show was Larry Hagman comes in and Ken Kurcival is sitting there, Cliff Barnes is sitting there in a chair. Cliff Barnes turns around. Now, Cliff Barnes, Ken Kurcival did not age well. I love him, but he's elderly, right? He turns around and Larry Hagman takes one look at him and says, oh, you didn't age well. And it was the funniest line. Ken Kurcival says, well, you didn't either. And it was such a great line. So they're all in the show, and they got their kids, John Jr., and it's a great show.
Oh, cool.
Terrific.
Okay, but Ally McBeal, top of the list of TV shows for you, right?
Yeah, top. Yeah, it's in the top 20.
And part of it is the
music,
Vonda Shepherd,
but it
right?
But it's Kelly's writing. He was a brilliant writer and wrote a lot of the scripts himself went on to do Boston Legal, to Boston Public. He's
but he didn't write the music.
No, but Vonda Shepherd did. They had that, if you know the show, she had that, they had a bar they used to hang out in, and she used to be the performer in the bar. So it was kind of like the music in the show was in the show.
Yeah.
So they used her songs to, amplify themes of whatever they were writing.
Like
that
this
week.
One.
This is the theme song for this. This was the theme song for the show.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I loved Ally McBeal, and this is the theme song. And I don't think I've ever heard the whole song.
Isn't that a great song?
Yeah, it's really good. Vonda Shepard. Vonda, what happened to Vonda?
She's around.
Is she really?
Yeah, she tours.
She's still singing?
She's still singing. Yeah, she does clubs.
Where does she sing? Clubs?
She does clubs.
Is she in New York City?
If you look her up online, I've seen something. She used to tour. I don't know what. I mean,
what did you like most about Ally McBeal?
I think the writing of it before. I didn't really watch it because of the Calista Flockhart storyline. I really liked all the stuff in the show. I liked the back of Fishman and the, you know, the biscuit and all those other kind of side characters that were so funny and so and I liked the breaking of the fourth wall. I loved when they used some music. Yeah. I liked when they sort of all had theme songs and they sort of all acted sometimes like they were in a show, which was strange at the time. And he really did that later on. And when David Kelly wrote Boston Legal, which was the James Spader show. They really broke the fourth wall on that show every once in a while. It was so bizarre to watch that show. They'd sit around and I mean, there was a great scene where James Spader's talking to Captain Kirk. What's his name?
William Shatner.
And I think William Shatner walks into James Spader's office and he says, "I haven't seen you this whole episode." Or something like that. And it was just like every once in a while they throw lines out there and you're like, what?
So that's pre 30 Rock too, right? Because 30 Rock really took that and ran with
that.
It. Yeah.
So
it was, what I liked about Ally McBeal was the multi-sex bathroom. I mean, the bath everybody used.
Oh, and they did whole episodes where they would hold
the
conversations, whole plot points would turn on that whole
thing. I like a clean bowl. You remember he had the remote flush?
He had the remote flush.
We're here with Mickey Peraskevas' top 10 favorite things. Let's get back to more music on The Song Is You. And this is Del Shannon? Oh,
which
my gosh.
Which was used in, of the top, of, I always have like top lists of stuff, but my favorite, I think on the top five TV shows of all time was Crime Story that Michael Mann did back in the 80s, I think it was.
Wow.
My years. But it predated all episodic cop shows. And it was a great show. It was set in 1962. It was way ahead of its time because now Mad Men is the big thing. But the Del Shannon, this show, Crime Story, is on DVD now. You can get it. And Dennis Farina is in it. And it's episodic. You really had to watch every episode. And at the time, there were no VCRs, so it was you couldn't capture. You know, if you missed a couple episodes,
you
were really
it,
so they canceled it after it was two seasons, and it was one of the great cliffhangers of all time at the end of the second season. The plane crashes. I'm not going to spoil this for everybody. It's not going to matter. But this plane crashes at the end of the second season.
Well, it sounds
and my
like
mother,
awesome.
We were watching. My mother said, "Well, where's the next episode?" And I said, "That's it. There is none." That was the second.
But
and
this song, in
but this song was their theme song.
Oh, another
this was
theme.
The theme song. They used this song for the show. It's an old song. I mean, it's an old Del Shannon song.
Let's hear.
Run, run, run.
You know, I've often wished that we had a microphone going with the chat in between while the song is playing, because
this
is really fascinating.
That's the alternate.
The alternate universe.
No, the alternate track.
The U is song.
That's the commentary track.
The commentary track. That's the bonus track. But that was Del Shannon and Runaway. Can't I know this song? Of course, everybody knows. Kyle Lynch, our engineer, knows this song, right?
Yeah. Well,
He's 20-something. He knows this. Everybody knows this.
A lot of people cover this
song. So this was from Crime Story. So you've had back-to-back themes from TV shows. So
yeah,
TV,
I actually looked at this list of stuff, and a lot of this is very television-related.
Yeah,
I think
I said
to somebody the other day, we are in the golden age. We have been in a golden age of television for years, and I think there's better stuff on TV now than there are in the film. I think some of the films today are just atrociously awful.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the TV, but your experience of entertainment value for TV, Homeland's great. The Sopranos was a great show. I mean, you can run these shows down list by list and go, it was better.
Ally McBeal had a sophistication about it. Boston Legal
funny, was
good. Funny, hip. Yeah.
Very good shows. And you go to the movies and you go for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and you go, that wasn't that good.
Yeah. Yeah. What's a recent film you've seen? Did you go to the Hamptons Film Festival since we're taping right after?
I did not.
Oh. I saw The Girl, which is the story of Alfred Hitchcock and Tippi Hedren. Oh, my God.
That's good.
Mickey.
I'm just looking forward
to
it.
You know that scene?
But I tell you what I did.
The scene in the birds in the attic?
Yeah, I know. He threw birds at her.
No, he didn't throw them.
Yeah, they threw the birds at her.
No, they were. She was in. She did 50 takes.
Oh, that's amazing.
He made her do 50 takes of that scene.
Girlfriend,
that was real blood.
Wait, my girlfriend and I went to see. I go to the Holbrook Theater now because it's such a great. It's a hype,
really?
But it's a great theater. And they ran the birds there. We saw that they run this Fathom event on the big screen to see the birds on a big screen was amazing. And not only that, was the funniest thing about it was that's the second time I'd seen it on the big screen.
Okay.
I saw it when I was out in L.A.
Really?
Great, terrific movie.
Yeah, it is.
Still creepy.
And no soundtrack.
Yeah, no soundtrack. No music at all, which is very bizarre, which makes it even creepier.
See The Girl, because Alfred Hitchcock is a creep. He really was.
Well, there's two Hitchcock movies
off-screen.
Coming. That's the one.
God.
That's the what's his name? Toby. I can't think of the actor's
name. Yeah, Toby Jones, right?
Toby Jones plays Hitchcock. And there's another Hitchcock movie coming out with...
Is it Philip Seymour Hoffman?
No.
Because I could so see him do it.
No. Yeah. It's Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins as Hitchcock.
It's called... I think it's called Hitch.
That's
not the name of the film. It's called Hitchcock.
Well, this is called The Song Is You, Mickey Paraskevis. And we were talking about, being an illustrator, animator. Seth MacFarlane of Family Guy is now slated to host the Oscars.
Well, my only Seth MacFarlane story is that we used to share the same agent. I still have his old agent.
Really?
Yeah. So I called my agent up and I said, guys, I got a little work to do.
You got work to do.
I got a little, at least I have some gold to shoot for.
So is this a big deal? An animator is hosting the Oscars?
He's a great actor. I mean, he does great voice work and he's funny. And he did Saturday Night Live and he was funny. And so.
But when are you going to do Saturday Night Live?
I don't know.
You're funny. You're an animator. You're an illustrator.
They haven't asked me. I don't hang
out. Do you do voices?
Yeah, I do voices. I didn't hang out at the film festival this year. So I didn't bump into
anyone. Oh, you didn't bump into anyone.
I didn't bump into Alec Baldwin.
Are you a Hamptons artist? Do you consider yourself a Hamptons artist?
Yeah.
Because this is your home, right?
Is that just one of your...
I don't know.
Pat question you asked?
No, are you a Hamptons artist?
No, I
was insulting you.
I think I've lived here for, 30 years. I mean, I've been here since 79.
But it's okay to be, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Because I think my association with dance papers has been people really... It was odd. I've always said this. I think we've had this conversation before that people always know me from dance papers. And, people come up to me and then they see I do a job or a book and they go, oh, it's nice that you keep working at dance.
Yeah.
That it's nice to make a living. It's nice to, it's like, okay. I mean, I do other things.
I wonder what Pat questions Randy Newman's been asked.
I always tell people I'm not a big concert goer because, you see like 2 hours and we get to play your hits and let me get out of here. But I've actually seen a lot of great shows over the years and I got
tickets. Saw Genesis.
Yeah. I saw Genesis a number of times and I saw Randy Newman do a show at Town Hall in New York City with just him and the piano and it was great. And I sat like in the second row and I had tears in my eyes, and my friend was with me, and they looked at me like, are you crying? And I said, I just...
Which song?
I teared up. I mean, it was
Short
just,
People?
No. It's just like, Louisiana and some of those great songs that he
Louisiana.
Plays. Oh, my God. Just some of those wonderful songs. And he was playing, he'd just done Faust, so he played a lot of the songs from Faust, and he would explain what the plot was, and he'd sing the song.
But this one is fascinating.
This is from an album called Little Criminals. I think it's from Little
Criminals.
Is it from?
Yep.
Yeah, and it's from, I think it's the album that has Short People on it. I should have looked this up. I forgot.
I think it is. Yep.
So, but this is one of my favorite songs on this album of Randy Newman's.
sitting with a fat man, trying to get along, talking about the horses, the women that we've known, spitting on the sidewalk, squinting into the sun, greeting all the people, smiling at everyone.
You can't fool the fat man. We should talk.
The conversation is better. That's what I shouldn't say. The conversation's better off the record than it is when you're
on the air, right?
Yeah.
And why is that?
Because we just sit here and we talk about all the secret stuff. Like, you know, what do you get paid for a book? Do you really make money?
Off of children's books?
My mother always was fearful that I was never going to make a living. That she said, you have to have something to fall back on, you know. And I said, well, I can always teach. I could always teach at college. I got a master's degree.
Did you learn from your mom, like at the foot of your mom? Or did you go, did you,
well,
you
I think
studied.
I was around her. She exposed me to a lot of stuff. I did go to art school, but she exposed me to a lot of stuff. She took me to a lot of Broadway shows. I mean, both my parents loved going to Broadway. She was very good friends with Harry Rigby. And so that being around him was a big influence on me.
So Rigby the rabbit comes from Harry Rigby?
Yes, actually it was. Yeah, he gave us a dog. And we named, my mother did not want the dog, but he handed us the dog, and my sister and I, have a twin sister, my sister and I love that dog, and she said, well, I'll get you back, Harry. I'm going to name the dog after you.
You.
So we named the dog Rigby. And so now I named this rabbit character in Taffy Saltwater. I named the rabbit Rigby.
And Taffy Saltwater is your name, or is it your mom? This book owes a lot to your mom, you
Yes,
said.
It does. Yeah, it does.
So does this song list. You owe a lot to your mom.
Of course I do. It's still with me every day. Miss her every day.
When did she pass?
2 years ago.
2 years.
A little more than two.
Yeah.
So, and it seems like yesterday. Hmm. So, but she's around. You know, she always, like, I guess, you know, you miss talking to people, but then it's time you feel like, well, okay, what can I, you know.
Was she out here? Did you spend a lot of time out here together?
Oh, we were always together.
Yeah.
Yeah. People who knew us, who used to see us. We used to hang out.
We used to go to yard sales.
Oh, here comes Betty and Mickey. We used to hang out at yard sales. I still have a basement full of
this
stuff.
This bunny looks kind of like it came from a yard sale.
He was a pretty ratty. I got that rabbit when I was a kid. Aww. It was a Stife rabbit, and I still have it. He sits up on my mantle at my house.
Oh, so sweet. Missing an eye, right?
Missing
a button,
an eye.
Right?
Yeah.
And then Rollo the beach ball, my favorite character.
I just love beach balls. My mother always laughed about
Rollo.
It. We just painted them in all these beach paintings that I used to do, and I still do beach paintings. But this is a fun book, and we're working on the animated show, and we're just, you know, we're trying to get it done. But it's a big, you know how that's what's that story about the guy pushing the rock up the hill?
Oh,
I
yeah.
I would describe that as that's what trying to do a TV show is like. You push that rock up the hill, and you just get it there, and all of a sudden it rolls back on you, and, you know, you got to start all over again.
What is the name of that?
Sisyphus.
Yeah. Sisyphus. I was going to say Ephesus, but it's Sisyphus.
No, Sisyphus. I'm making myself sound very intelligent here.
Yeah, you are. But we're going to play some more music while we're at it. Randy Newman with Mickey Peraskevas here on The Song Is You and his top 10 favorites. And we're working our way towards some George Harrison. Now, this is the best of Dark Horse. This is an interesting
collection. I think the song that is from the original Dark Horse album, I don't know why they called it, I don't remember why this album was called The Best of Dark Horse, but Dark Horse was the first album. Somebody had given me that album when I was in high school, and I always liked this song. This is like very cool. You know, all these songs were kind of upbeat. And
yeah, you've really picked
I'm an upbeat kind of a guy. I don't really want to listen to. That's why I didn't pick. I mean, I love, as much as I like Radiohead.
Yeah.
You know, do you like Radiohead?
I love Radiohead.
Okay, well, it's not an, I mean, I love listening to them once. And
but
then,
you can't go
like,
back
when
to
you
them.
Listen to, like, you know, In Rainbows was one of those great listening experiences. I mean, you know, listen, it's like 45 minutes, 50 minutes, and you just listen to the whole thing straight through, and it's like, wow, that was really great.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really feel like I want to listen to it again.
Yeah.
But I did see them in concert, and they were great. I did a sketchbook. I sat right on the side of the stage.
Really?
Yeah, I was right.
Are those sketchbooks coming out? Because you've done a number of those. Roger
on the
Waters.
Blog. They're on the, I put them on the blog. I did the Roger Waters show. I published
they're on
them
your
as
blog?
A book. Yeah. You
and
can see them on the blog.
Mickey Peraskevas, Michael Peraskevas.
MichaelParaskevas.com. And then there's a blog link. You go to the blog.
Didn't Radiohead do Creep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They hate that song. They won't do that
they
song.
They won't do that song
They
anymore?
Won't do the song in concert anymore.
Oh, really?
That was what I read. And I'm pretty sure, I don't think they did it at the show I saw. I saw them in New Jersey. And I got tickets at the last minute. We got floor. I got standing room floor, you know, that floor section, that general admission section. I thought, oh, this is going to be crazy.
Well, guess what?
Instead of it crummy, I'll just leave. So, because, you know, but we made ourselves right up to the stage, and I got my sketchbook out, and everybody thought I was crazy. And I sat there and I drew for 2 hours, and they were
drawing live.
They were amazing, yeah.
Well, you do that at the Hampton Classic Horse Show every year, too, right?
It's a little different doing it in the middle of, like, people dancing and jumping and
singing. Are you thinking Dark
songs.
Horse when you're at the Hampton Classic?
Yes, this was, I told you to play this at the, didn't I tell you to
did,
play this?
Yeah.
I told you to play
it's
this song.
Blow Away, right?
Yeah.
It's George Harrison.
Love you. All I got to be is to be happy.
Supertramp, Taking the Long Way Home.
Isn't that a great album?
It's great. Mickey Peresquive is with us on the song as you. So where did this take you?
I can still remember driving in the car, listening to that song repeatedly off a little cassette tape player that I used to keep in the car because we didn't have CD players in the cars back in like 79.
Can you believe the resurgence? We were just talking about the resurgence of vinyl. People are buying vinyl. They're going to reissue the Beatles in November on vinyl.
We've had this conversation. It's a warmer sound. Do you ever go to movies a lot now? I don't know about here when you see these digital projectors that they've got in the movie theaters. The screens look better. The picture is crisp and clear. But I was in L.A., and I went to the Beverly Cinema, which is a retro house, and they show old films. And they screen films. They don't show films digitally. They show films off print, which is the way they used to do it in the old days, where they used to film. Now, they're not going to do this anymore. Everything's going to be digital. But there was a coldness to it. There was a coldness to the picture digitally, I feel. I mean, it looks clear. Everything looks sharp. Everything's in focus. But when I saw a lot of movies projected. I saw Jaws one day, and I saw The Birds. And I saw a clean, new, remastered print of The Birds. And the color in it was amazing. I saw Bye Bye Birdie out there on a clean, remastered print. Bye Bye Birdie. It's a little bird thing. But when the picture came up, and there's Anne Margaret in front of that blue background, the color, the saturation of the color was so brilliant. And only to be can only be done through a projected lens, and right.
Something organic, more organic.
Yeah, it's more
about
artsy.
It. I don't know. Whatever.
It's more artsy.
Fartsy.
So people who like, I think people who used to like, you know, they used to claim the sound audiophile guys and say, well, I only listen to vinyl records, but vinyl records get scratched. They sound
pissy. I know. And who has a turntable nowadays? Come on.
No, I don't even have a turntable.
Oh, so the Eels are next.
Oh,
I know
course.
You always have to bring the Eels.
I have to bring one Eels song.
Okay.
I should have done a whole Eels hour. Could have done all. He's got so many songs. They have so many.
Who's he? Who's he?
Mark Everett Oliver.
Okay. Mark Everett Oliver.
I'm getting that
they do
backwards.
They do a song about birds.
Yeah, they do that.
I like birds.
I like bird song.
But
which
this is
one of their more famous songs.
What's
this is
one?
Called Rotten World Blues, which describes my feeling about politics.
Oh, cool.
Maybe.
Okay.
Hey, man. Stop the world's going.
Oh, what a sweet ending.
Isn't that nice?
The Rotten World Blues.
A sweet ending to a rotten song. I mean, he's just like, he writes these probably nasty lyrics, very acid-tongued,
right,
kind of funny lyrics. And then he writes these kind of like funny little
like fairy
pop
tale
melody.
Yeah,
little pop. Kind of fun melody lines.
Who invented pop? That was a t-shirt I just saw recently. Who invented pop?
The Canadians.
The Canadians.
That's what they call soda.
Yeah. We're here with Mickey Paraskevis. You've got to write a children's book and base it on eels, because I would love to see.
Well, then
how
I would
you
get to meet him. So that
how do
be...
you draw? How would you draw an eel?
An artist can draw anything.
That'd be so cool.
You should be, as an artist, you should be able to draw anything.
Are you a kid? You look like a kid.
Yeah.
You really are.
I'm in a good mood.
And you write.
I'm in a good mood. I'm basically
What's your
happy.
Inner child? How old? I would say for mine, it's 7.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like about 7. Yeah. I'm about 28. I always thought I was, I'm a little older. I was 28 when I was 7. I mean, I just was I was a very hip kid. I was a very hip child.
And now
child.
So you're discovering your childhood in these later years, yeah. Right?
And it was funny. When I got to be 28, I thought, I thought I was 28.
Yeah,
I was
right.
Like, and then, you know, then after that, it was all downhill.
Downhill, right? We're here with Mickey Paraskevis, and let's hear, that's a great transition. The end of the Eels song, Rotten World Blues, into Wayne Newton.
Wayne Newton. This one is for my mom. She just loved Wayne Newton.
Okay.
Loved Wayne Newton.
Dark as shame, darling, dark as shame. Thank you for all the joy and pain. Picture show, second balcony, was the place we'd meet. Second seat, gold Dutch treat, you were sweet. Dark as shame, darling, dark as shame. Save those lies, darling, don't explain. I recall Central Park in fall, how you tore your dress, what a mess. I confess, that's not all. Dark as shame.
Duncan. I always thought he sounded like a girl.
He does.
He does.
But
that
song never gets old.
Did that sell? It actually helped sell him?
Yeah,
in
that
a sense?
Was a big hit. I mean, that was
a huge hit
for him. But, I mean, that song made him.
Is he still doing Las Vegas?
He's still in Las Vegas.
Wow.
Have you seen him live?
Have never
seen Wayne Newton live.
Like,
Vegas
gee, I
is
can't
not
understand
Vegas
that.
Is too bizarre. Mm. I've been in Vegas. You ever been in Vegas?
One time. That's all I needed. Yeah.
Very strange place.
Very strange.
If Vegas was like the way they portrayed it, the Vegas people are going to hate me, but if Vegas was really like the way it looks in movies and TV and it would be great.
It would be great.
But it's not.
It's not.
It's filled with big fat people with fanny packs and t-shirts and flip-flops. I could not believe how many people in flip-flops I saw in Vegas.
Oh, my God. Well, it is so damn hot out here.
And it's hot.
Come on. It's hot. It's
a happening place. I would say it was 109 degrees. Your eyeballs were hot.
Right?
I have never been in such hot weather.
It's almost like a studio sometimes.
And they say it's a dry heat.
What is that? That
does
not even make sense to me. It's hot, but at least it's dry heat. Yeah. So let's continue. We got a few minutes left on The Song Is You with Mickey Paraskevis. He's got a new book coming out in May of 2013 called Taffy Saltwater's Yummy Summer Day, and currently On My Way to the Bath, which is a delightful book, which has gotten rave reviews.
Yes, did get very good reviews for us. Yeah. So written by a good friend of mine, and I did all the illustrations for it.
Yeah, but the new one, Taffy Saltwater's,
it's just me.
Your book.
Yeah.
Your story, your illustrations.
Yeah.
But your mom is part of this, too.
Yeah, my mom was a big influence on that. I mean, she really, she named a lot of characters. We had different various versions of it. And then we just sort of, you know, and then she passed away, which was sad. But then we...
Her spirit is here.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she lives on in Rollo and Taffy.
And Donkashane.
And Donkashane. Yeah. She loves that song.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mom. Who's... is it Kasabian?
Kasabian. It's Kasabian. A British band. Like this band. Like this song. I picked it up from one of my other... top five television shows of all time, which nobody loved, which was called John from Cincinnati. And people who know me think I'm crazy, but it was a great show, and it's on. You can get it on DVD. There's only 10 episodes because they canceled the series.
Who's in it?
Brian Van Holt was in it. He's in Cougar Town now. And Ed O'Neill was in it. Rebecca De Mornay, Luke Perry was in it.
And this is a theme for
this? This was used in the first, in the pilot episode at the end. And whenever I hear it, I think of, you have to think of, when you listen to this song, you have to think of people surfing. This is a great, for some reason, it just seems to connect with, it has nothing to do with surfing, but it just seems to be very evocative. Very evocative of, I think, of the beach and waves and
sunrise,
surfing.
Light flies.
Sunrise.
So Mickey's in the studio playing all the instruments here.
Your guitar. I used to. I actually wrote a letter to David Milch, who wrote that show and created it. And I said, why don't you guys just write a novel to finish out the story? Because it was 10 episodes, and they really leave you hanging at the end of 10 shows, because it's a very strange show.
But you recommend John from Cincinnati.
Yeah, John from Cincinnati. I've seen it a number of times. My agent loves it. We all talk. We always yak about it, and it's a very kind of a weird
And this
show.
Is the band Kasabian.
Kasabian,
You've
yeah,
turned me on to somebody new. I never heard of Kasabian.
I've always done this to you.
Sun, Rise, Light, Flies.
Great song.
Very cool. Sounds a little like the Beatles in their 60s.
Yeah, it's a little 60s.
Psychedelic kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a little psychedelic.
Yeah, like it. So we're wrapping up here. Oh, my gosh.
You want my guilty pleasure?
Yeah, I got to have a guilty pleasure.
My guilty pleasure will not surprise you.
First, guilty pleasure food-wise. Give me one.
Root beer float.
Root beer float?
Vanilla ice cream.
Oh, that's not so guilty, but a huge pleasure.
I do make a good cherry pie.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, cool. A la mode?
I still have a piece in my freezer of a cherry pie that I made. I'm waiting.
Bring it next time.
Yes, I'm waiting.
So what's this? Okay, what's this guilty pleasure?
This is the guilty pleasure. This is a record that came out that the person who they think did it denied that he did it. And it was a kind of a mix dance record. It was a techno record that the guy who does the Eels wanted to do. And he denies that this is his album. But it's sort of connected to him. And I guess he's sort of like backed off. He still won't admit that he did it.
Apparently. The artist's name.
Mark, you know.
Yeah, but it's
Oliver.
Here. It's
it's MC Honky.
MC
this
Honky.
This is a guy, they claimed he was like a DJ, he was a dentist, and he decided to. They had a whole backstory about this nut who was going to be, who was a DJ, and he was a dentist in Los Angeles. And he did this album, and they put it out. They even did a music video for it, which was like animated on some of the, and I admit that some of the, if you get this album, that it's only one album. It's one album that MC Honky did, and there's about 10 cuts on it. And they're not all very good. Some of them are real off. This one is particularly fun.
Fun.
Yeah, this is a good. You jump
now.
Around.
The album's called "I Am the Messiah."
It's called "I Am the Messiah" by MC Honky.
Honky.
So if you, but this one song, I just love to. This is a good song to get up and jump around the room. To jump around the room to. It's a good dance.
I love this. So LA. The Devil Went Down to Silver Lake.
Yeah, this is a very LA. The whole album is very. I mean, you listen to it.
It's got to be a violin in this, right? There's got to be.
I don't know what's in this. I'm telling you, it's a mix. It's very strange.
Mickey Paraskevas, what a great way to wrap up. Guilty pleasure. The Devil Went Down to Silver Lake. And please look for his new book in the new year, Taffy Saltwater's Yummy Summer Day. Mickey, thank you so much.
Thank you, dear.
You've been listening to The Song Is You, produced and hosted by Bonnie Grice. The executive producer is Linda Littman. The engineers include Charles de Montebello and Ethan Donaldson at CDM Studios in New York City, and Kyle Lynch and Matt Cooper at Peconic Public Broadcasting in Southampton, New York. The Song Is You is a division of BLG Productions. Continuing adventures in public media.